Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nobody who encountered God in the Bible ever looked the same afterwards. Exodus recounts that Moses' face was so bright after he came down off Mount Sinai that they had to put a veil over his face. He apparently looked like some LED high beams shining directly in your eyes after he spoke with God and the God of his ancestor Abraham. Similarly, in our first lesson for today, we heard about the messengers of God who came down and swept up Elijah into heaven in a whirlwind of brilliant fire, something like a pyrotechnic display at a rock concert, only I'm sure it was a whole lot more intense. Finally, we read in our gospel passage for this morning how Jesus went up to the high mountain apart and was transfigured into a dazzling image of white right before his disciples' eyes. It would seem that nobody looks the same after they encounter the living Lord. God's presence does something resplendent. And apparently people will notice if you have been face to face with the big guy in the sky. Now, perhaps the most fascinating of these direct biblical encounters with God is our first lesson, a story of Elijah being swept up into the heavens. This is a story that has inspired great wonder throughout the centuries, giving rise, at least in part, to creative titles like the spiritual hymn, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and the famous movie title, Chariots of Fire. The story involves Elijah and Elisha walking together from town to town across Israel, with Elijah acting as the mentoring lead prophet and Elisha as the prophetic apprentice. On their short journey, they encountered several other prophets who apparently knew that Elijah was to be carried off to heaven. They seemed to find it curious that Elisha would accompany him. He was going off to simply be whisked away. The scene is meant to let us know of Elisha's strong bond with his mentor, especially when he fired back at these other prophets, "Yes, I know, be silent." He didn't seem too excited that Elijah was headed to heaven. But that is what happened. After they had crossed the Jordan, splitting the waters like Moses had done generations earlier, they were walking along, and a chariot of fire came out of nowhere, split the two apart, and took Elijah up into heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha ran after them, crying, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But they were gone. So Elisha started mourning by tearing his clothes. Now, it's interesting to think about this whirlwind of God. Where I come from, there are tornado warnings about once every other week during the summer. So it would make sense for somebody to just be zoomed up into heaven in a funnel cloud. Out here in western Montana, we could think of a storm on the lake or some blizzard-like conditions that we've been experiencing lately. These things could perhaps carry somebody off into heavenly places with little warning and great surprise. I often kind of wonder what this whirlwind might have looked like. But I also imagine that some of us might like to make an exit, like Elijah, out of this world in the middle of it all. In addition to being a pretty epic exit, if you ask me, Elijah didn't have to worry about getting old or retirement savings or dying at all, even. He just got fast-tracked to a heavenly home with God. Not a bad way to go, really. The sentiment is captured in the oh-so-famous spiritual hymn that I mentioned a moment ago, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. I'm sure that most of you know that the hymn was written in part to communicate to American slaves running away from their captors. They could look at the Big Dipper, which kind of looks like a chariot, and find their way north. The two stars that form the front end of the Big Dipper point to Polaris, the North Star. And so slaves traveling to Canada at nighttime could find general directions embedded within the song. But I believe that the song had even more power for the slaves who were not escaping. Amidst the atrocious, sinful conditions of slavery that our American ancestors set up for those that they had stolen from Africa, the song served as a regular reminder of the powerful vision, the transcendent hope of Elijah's journey. Elijah was snatched away from the suffering and exile that he endured for opposing his idolatrous king. A story which gave unbounded hope for those who were held captive for centuries in our own country. Elijah's story is one of God sending heavenly light to lift him from human darkness. Definitely a story worth singing about and worth hoping for. Now, additionally, we heard a little bit of a different story of God's heavenly light in our gospel lesson for today. Whereas Elijah's story is of the heavenly fire, wind, and light, is a story of ascension, right? Lifting Elijah up. Our gospel story tells of the heavenly light descending in our world. Jesus was not whisked away and returned to his heavenly home before he faced down his own suffering. Instead, the light descended on him and he was anointed to face down death itself. The light did not come to save him from suffering, but to prepare him for it. And Jesus was not alone in this anointing moment. Moses and Elijah, the two prophets who had been transformed and transfigured by the heavenly light in their own lives, were there with Jesus. When the light descended upon him, they showed up as well, proving that this moment really was the real deal. Jesus' transfiguration was one for the history books. He was in the company of the prophetic saints who had walked with God before him, further proving that his journey was on to heaven, even though his way would take him through the depths and pains of hell. Now, I suppose that if one would choose how she or he would make their way to heaven, they might prefer the path of Elijah to the path of death and resurrection, which Jesus endured on our behalf. I mean, Elijah's assumption into heaven is the stuff of like a crazy action scene in a movie, right? It's easy to imagine this ancient biblical text being played by famous actors like Jean-Claude Van Damme as the angelic charioteer, racing down from the skies to pick up Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is playing Elijah, of course. Amazingly grasping Van Damme's outstretched arm through the flames as the chariot rushed by their heads, right? Now, Elisha would be played by the British actor, Jason Statham, who would chase after his mentor, ascending into the skies, running after him, and when he can't catch him, he would shed a single tear of grief for having lost his friend. Then he would turn around, look into the camera, and say, "I am the prophet now." Now, to top it off, you could have this Schwarzenegger Elijah character shouting out in a punny allusion to the gospel transfiguration story by screaming out as he disappeared into the clouds, "I'll be back!" Yeah, that would be cool. Nobody sell the movie rights to this. And I'm sure the ancient story played out that way too. What's more, who wouldn't choose that kind of ending over the one that our Savior endured at the hands of Pontius Pilate and the crowds that demanded his blood? Who wouldn't choose to be featured in Elijah's epic action sequence to death by crucifixion on a Roman cross? Fortunately for us, Jesus did not care about his own end as much as he cared about those of us he came to save. He did not worry about the light carrying him off to heaven as much as he cared to save us from the darkness of death, which seeks to consume us. He did not care about the pain that he would endure as much as he desired that we be saved from our own suffering. He did not need an epic ending to his life on earth, but desired to make a way for us to have an eternal home in the heavenly place by whatever means necessary. The light of God descended upon the Son of God so that his radiance might fill our lives from now and to the great forever, where we can finally ask Elijah what it was like to make such an epic departure from this world of ours. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.